Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Life just gets better and better. I think they're singing out of a sense of their own personal testimony. They're not just singing about overcoming sorrow because it's written in a book somewhere. They've all lived that, and that's what makes it so real. They sing because Jesus is real to them. Now the choir is going to come back, and they've saved the best for the last, so we're excited to have them come back. But I just want to share for a few minutes on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. You know, today, hundreds of millions of people around the world are united in one thought, that Christ is Lord and that he has risen from the dead. 2 billion people worldwide. Yeah, let's rejoice together. Christ is risen. Amen. I want to take a few minutes just to talk on this Resurrection Sunday about God's great love for us and the difference that it can make in our lives. Our scripture is 1 John 4:16. My message is entitled, God is Love. Would you read the Word of God with me? Let's read together 1 John 4:16. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. What a powerful line. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. A man fell into a very deep pit. There was no way out, and he was struggling mighty to get out, and he just couldn't make it. Many people came and looked in, and they saw his struggle, but no one helped him. A curious person said, how'd you fall into that pit? A sensitive person said, ooh, I feel for you down there in that pit, but no one helped him. A prophetic person came by and said, I knew you were going to fall into that pit. A judgmental person said, it's your fault that you're in that pit. You deserve it. An interior designer came by and said, so how about some fresh ideas on updating the look of your pit? And then an IRS agent came and said, are you paying taxes on this pit? And then a politician came and said, this pit is the result of a previous administration. And then a self-pitying person came by and said, that's nothing, you should see my pit. A Buddhist monk said, relax and try not to think about the pit. An optimist said, cheer up, there's worse places than this pit. And a pessimist said, get ready, this pit is only the beginning. And just as the man was ready to lose all hope, Jesus came by and took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. How many of you have been lifted out of your pit by the love of Jesus Christ? You ought to just say hallelujah with me together. Hallelujah. God is love. God is love. And today I want to just talk about what that means and why it matters. You know, in a world that is filled with violence, and in a world where there's wars breaking out and uncertainty and awful things seemingly on the horizon, in a world where there's people that are killing in the name of God and equating God with vengeance and violence, it's great to be reminded that God is love. What does that mean, and why does it matter? First, God is love is the heart of the Christian faith, but what does that even mean? I mean, is that a Hallmark card? Is that a, what is that, that God is love? No matter what you may have experienced in your life, what kind of love you may have received, the love of God, my friend, is very different. First, God's love is unconditional. That's what makes it so special and unique. John 3, the most famous scripture, I suppose, in the history of mankind. For God so loved the world, so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but instead have everlasting life. What love. God's love is unconditional. He loves us that way. I read about a father who only hugged his son when his son brought home a certain level of academic grades. Otherwise, there was no expressed affection. The one time that he knew he was loved was if he performed to a certain standard. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father loves us in much more unconditional terms? Whether we're perfect, nobody I know is, but if we were perfect, he wouldn't love us any more than he loves us just as we are. In fact, because God's love is unconditional, we say there isn't anything you could do to make God love you more, and there isn't anything you could do to make him love you less. God loves you unconditionally. He loves you whether you've performed to specifications or not. I'm not sure what kind of love you might have experienced in your life. Maybe you've known only conditional love. But my friend, I want you to understand something about the love of God. It is unconditional. All you have to do is believe it and receive it. And it begins to change you and change the way you live. God's love is also sacrificial. It's a love that pays a price. It's a love that embraces an expense. It doesn't come without commitment. It's a sacrificial love. Jesus himself said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his own friends. And he knew exactly what he was talking about. When he said that, he was preparing himself to do exactly that, as he would give himself out of love for all of mankind. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't walk by your pit and look in it and say, hey, you're on your own? I mean, it would just take too much for me to actually lift you out of the pit. No, when he saw you in your pit, he gave all that he was to heal you, to save you, and to cleanse you. You see, every one of us had a massive sin debt. The scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus came along and dealt with that sin debt for us, making payment. We heard the choir sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid that sin debt so that we could be forgiven and free. He did that at the expense of his own blood. God's love is sacrificial. I say it this way. My pit was deep, and it was. But God's love reaches deeper. God's love is also personal. It's so important that we grasp this. Romans 5:8, God's love is personal. He showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. So much to say in that scripture about how he acted in love for us before we could even identify that love, or before we even wanted that love, or would even honor that love. He acted in love for us before we knew he loved us. He was already committed to us. But what I love the most about this is that God's great love for us, you see, he didn't just die for the world as a concept. He died for the people in the world, individually, personally, one-on-one. If you had been the only person lost, this love would have come to you through the cross. He didn't just die for all people everywhere, the vague masses of humanity. He died for individuals. Jesus came and he showed us this. And he spoke about it. He said, don't you know that your Father in heaven has even the very hairs of your head numbered? That he knows the details of your life? He understands your circumstance. In other words, he gets what's happening in your life right now. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your pains. He knows the circumstances and the difficulties you've had. And he loves you and cares for you as an individual. His love is personal. And while he would never force his love on anyone, he would never make anyone respond. He invites us to believe. He invites us to respond. He invites us to be lifted out of that pit. His love is personal. But here's the one that I love to talk about the most. God's love is invincible. God's love is unbeatable. The scripture says in Song of Solomon 8,
talks about, and it's really speaking about human love there, the love is invincible facing danger and death. Love is a pretty powerful thing. People move mountains for love. People do great things for love. Love is super strong. It's invincible even when things are dangerous. How many have done stupid things in the name of love? I'm praying right now for a friend of mine whose son is a worship pastor in Knoxville, Tennessee. I think he's about 24, 25 years old, a newlywed, a beautiful kid. They got married in 2010. I think the bride was like 22, 23 years old. And within a year of their wedding, she was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's a virulent strain of cancer that is invading her whole body, and cancers are showing up everywhere, and they're trying treatments, and the doctors are doing everything they can, but I mean, it's a life and death battle. And I've watched them going through this for, you know, a year and a half or 2 years now. All their dreams crushed, their dreams for children. The medicine is taking that off the table. Whether she even lives, you know, is a big question. But I'm watching their love for each other as a husband and wife, newlywed, undeterred. He loves her, full of cancer. He loves her just as if she was perfect. She loves him as if she was fully healthy. And amazingly, though there have been moments for them to question, I mean, naturally, any of us would question, God, where are you? And where's your healing power? And what's going on? Our whole life was ahead of us. And now it's just a toss-up, even whether we're going to make it. Yet, in the midst of that, the love that they both had for God, the love that they had for each other on their wedding day, and their Christian faith and their love for God is unshaken. They love God through this disease and through the prospect of death. And that's just human love. It's pretty strong. But I'm here to tell you on this Resurrection Sunday that the core message, the truth of resurrection, is that nothing can stop God's love for you, not even death. See, on Good Friday, Jesus died on a cross. But according to the Gospels and according to hundreds of witnesses and the clear testimony of history, that Jesus did not stay in that grave, but on the third day, Christ rose from the dead. The power of death was broken by the love that Jesus had for you and I. He loved you too much to stay dead. He came back for you. And let me tell you, God's love is invincible. It'll get you through any circumstance. Death was strong, but God's love remains stronger. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah? So that's a little bit about the love of God, and what does that even mean? Hopefully that clarifies it a little bit, but then we come to the so what? I mean, what does that mean for me? It's 2014, I live in Silicon Valley. I'm going through things. I'm dealing with life. I've got pressures and burdens. What good is it to know that God loves me? Let me just suggest a couple of things that are important for you on this Resurrection Sunday. First, if God is love, then that means that we can know him personally. See, God's not an abstract energy. He's not a vibration in the universe. He's a person. And if he's love, if he cares, then he wants a relationship with you. Nobody becomes a Christian by changing their mind, changing their philosophy. The Christian faith stands up well to intellectual scrutiny. It holds up well to a defense of intellectual critiquing. But it's not an intellectual position. It's not a tradition. It's not a family custom. It's not a culture. It's not anything human. Christianity is a relationship with God. You see, God wants you to believe in him, but it's not because he's insecure. Oh, I just wish people would believe in me. You know, I've got a low self-esteem, and I just need people to believe in me. The only reason God wants you to believe in him is so that you will enter into relationship with him, because you can't have a relationship with someone that you don't believe is real. When you know that he's real, when you believe in him, then that opens the opportunity for you to relate to him and know him in a personal way. God is love means that you can know him personally. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. That's so special. I want that for every person hearing my voice. I want you to know and believe the love that God has for you. And this is where life gets so great. This is where we begin to experience real love. For most people, we have a question in our life. And the question goes something like this: does anybody really love me? Will I ever be deeply and sincerely known and loved? That's a powerful question. In the context of God is love, it becomes a pretty clear answer. You know, I've experienced, like so many of you, moments of love in my life that I think are so memorable. Moments where I could feel maybe love. I think it's easier to feel love coming out of you than love coming into you. I'm not sure why, but I can tell you that 33 years ago when my beautiful wife walked down an aisle and I saw her there as my bride, that sense of love is pretty strong. When I held my firstborn son and then my second son for the first time, and now I'm blessed to be a grandfather, and I can tell you when I'm holding Liam and he's asleep on my shoulder and I feel his breath and I'm holding my son's son, there is something coming out of me that is convulsive, that is volcanic. It's thermonuclear. I don't even know where it comes from. It's like radiation, just love is just coming out of me, right? It's a whole thing. And the love that I have for my daughter-in-laws as they've joined my family, the love that I have for you, I've felt love coming out of me into you. But none of that, as great as those moments are, can compare to the moment when I, as a broken, pretty lonely 14-year-old, directionless, lost, really, when I finally realized, and it became real to me what I had known in my head all my life, that God is love, but I don't know, it hit me like a cannonball. God loves me. God knows me. And that realization just wrecked me and healed me at the same time. And I've never been the same since. I can tell you that there is nothing more powerful in life than to know and believe the love that God has for you. This kind of love that is from God in Christ coming to you is so transformational. It's the love that we're all hungering for. It's what we're all thirsting for. It's the answer to the question, does anybody really see me? Does anybody really care about me? You can be satisfied if you're hungry. You can be filled, not with religion, not with philosophy, but with love. The love of your Creator for you. It will deeply satisfy you. It will keep you for a lifetime. And when you find this kind of love, you won't walk away from it. If you ever understand how God feels about you, you'll never walk away from him. I say it this way. Once you've had filet mignon, it's hard to tolerate Spam. You know, it's hard to get excited about Spam. I tell you, I mean, I have a lot of loving relationships in my life, but the greatest love that I've ever known is the love that God has for me in Christ. If God is love, then I say we can have some legitimate hope in our lives. What good is it? What does it mean that God is love? It means that we can have hope. It means that we can stand up and face whatever life throws at us. If God's love is so strong that it burned through the grave, if God's love is so strong that it put his son on the cross, if it is invincible and personal and transformational, then I can face what I'm going through standing up. Nothing can crush me. Nothing can destroy me if I know that God is for me. God's love is enough to keep me through chronic pain. I didn't say I would enjoy it. But if I'm going through, if you're going through chronic pain or financial reverse or psychological distress, emotional distress, or the breakdown of your life, if all hope seems like it's gone for you, if you ever come to that moment, you might be there today. I'm here to let you know something. The love of God is invincible, and it will keep you in a place of hope. Didn't the Apostle Paul say, I am convinced, Romans 8, 38 and 39, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me. I know life can be brutal. I've spent my whole adult life watching people suffer, walking them through the worst of the worst. It's hardball. But I'm here to tell you, when you know and believe the love that God has for you, that love will give you hope. And it will get you through. Finally, if God is love, then we can truly be saved. I mean, we can know that we know. We are assured of an eternal life in heaven with Christ. We can know that our sins are forgiven. We can have peace with God if God loves us. We can know that we're his forever, that he's not going to leave us in that pit. We can know that no matter how miserably we fail or mess up, it's not going to change God's commitment to us and his ability to get us through. We can be truly saved from our sins. Many religions hint at the possibility of eternal life. Many, many religions say you can earn your way to a certain place. I heard a man on the news the other day say, well, you know, they were talking about Christ and the crucifixion, Easter time, and he said, well, I mean, you know, you can get to heaven if you earn your way. And I was shouting at the TV, no, you can't. You can't earn eternity. We have all sinned and fallen desperately short of God's standard of perfection. But we can receive salvation as a gift. And it comes, only Christ promises us this gift. In fact, the Word of God says that there is no other name. There is no one else that can rescue us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He will rescue us. He can save us. You say, what must I do to be saved? One of the most important questions in the universe. What must I do to be saved? Can I earn it? The scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And your whole family will be blessed. Don't you love that? If you'd like to understand more about what it means to be saved, if you're considering faith in Christ, I want to give you a book at the end of the service. Our people are going to be here in just a few minutes. This book is called Why Jesus. It's a clear explanation of who Christ is, why he had to die, how can we be sure that he rose again, and what difference does that make for us? It's a clear explanation of the good news of the gospel. I give it to you as a gift. Just simply come up. If you're considering faith in Christ, I want you to understand the love of God for you. We can know God's love. We can relate personally with him. We can have hope again. We can be saved. We can make it through anything because God is love. Now, as the choir comes to join me here on the platform and our service is ready to conclude in just a few minutes, I want us to get ready to have prayer. In just a few minutes, we're going to pray. Could I just ask you one important question this morning? Do you know and believe the love that God has for you? Have you ever experienced this kind of love? Do you know that it's available? And if it is available, have you responded to it? Have you surrendered to this love? I'm going to come back in a few minutes. We're going to have prayer together. And I pray that you'll open your heart to God as the choir ministers this beautiful song that is entitled, Love Lifted Me. Would you just bow your heads, ladies and gentlemen? I just ask you right where you are to just bow. I believe the love of God is the force that brought you into this room, to this place today. I believe the Holy Spirit has been working to communicate to you, to impress you, to get your attention, and to impart a confidence to you, a very simple truth, a truth that will change your life, that you would know and believe the love that God has for you and how powerful it is in its ability to lift you. I want to pray for you that your heart would just be touched and that you would never be the same again from today on. In that message coming into you would give you hope and healing. Lord, I pray by the same Spirit that has drawn this people together today, the same Spirit that has anointed these words and songs, I pray that that same Holy Spirit would now convince every heart of your invincible, personal, sacrificial, unconditional love. I pray, Lord, that people would be lifted out of the pits of sorrow, of discouragement. I pray that you would heal bodies. I pray that you would heal families. I pray that hope would begin to live again inside every person, no matter the pain, no matter the background. Lord, let your love lift. Breathe upon your people, Lord. And let us walk from this place so bold, so upright, so strong in the face, Lord, of whatever is happening around us. Let us live with confidence and victory, knowing that your love is for us. We praise you for this love. All we can do is say thank you. We receive this gift of love. We accept it by faith in Christ. And everyone said, amen. Would you do one thing with me? Would you stand? And we're going to just come to a place of prayer. You've heard the message, and I'm so glad you were here. There's a place for you in this community. We love having you here. I want to thank everyone that's worked so hard to make today really important and special. And you were about to clap for the choir, and I want you to do that now. Can you tell them what a great job they did? I want to invite you to respond to the love of God in a prayer. I'm not sure, you might be Baptist or Buddhist, or I don't know who you are or where you're from. Only you know your story, but God sees where it is for you today. And all of us can pray a prayer. All of us can reach back to God, knowing that He has reached out to us. We can all say, yes, Lord, I will pray to you. I will receive your love. You can receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I ask you to do that. I don't know if I'll see you again. None of us is sure. Would you say a simple prayer with me? It's on the screen. We'll say it out loud. I believe God will hear it in heaven. He's bending over to hear our prayers right now. Let's talk to God together. Let's say it out loud. Father God, thank you for your amazing love. I've been so lost and hopeless, but now I believe your love and grace can truly save me. Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. Today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Say that again. Today I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and I rejoice that my life will never be the same again. In Christ's name. Amen. Would you give the God of heaven that loves you a great hallelujah and a big applause? Hallelujah. It's been so great to be together. This is the greatest day of the Christian year. I wish you, I bless you with a blessed, fantastic Resurrection Sunday and resurrected life. Thank you for being with us at Gateway. If you'd like to get a book or you need someone to pray with, the prayer teams are coming right now. If you men and women would come, and there's going to be people here to pray with you and talk to you and give you the book if you need anything at all. And if I haven't shaken your hand, if I've never met you, I'd love to do that. God bless you. You are dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.